Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now, before I close last week, I introduced the new series of teachings that we'll be having beginning from today, which I titled Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. Now, in introducing that, I explained that it's so important we recognize that life is in phases, and that if we don't understand that, we are likely to misrelate with each phase of life. I've explained in previous times that there are two basic seasons of life. There is seed time and there is harvest. And if a man is running after the things that have to do with harvest during the times of seed, he will end up not sowing any seeds in the seed time. Then when the harvest time really comes, he will have nothing to harvest. Jesus was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Mark chapter 4, in verse 28, there is my emphasis. He said, the soil produces crops in three stages. There is first the stage of the blade, then the stage of the head, and then the stage in which there is mature grain inside that head of corn. Now, what am I trying to explain? You will see here that results in life also, they are in stages. And it will be dangerous for a man who has planted seeds if he does not recognize that when his results begin to come, there will first be a stage of the blade. He will go in there and harvest his crops at that particular point in time. He will have effectively lost his seed because the full grain has not yet come. I'm explaining all of this to bring forth the importance of these teachings that we are having, that life is in phases, and to observe these different phases in the adventures of life, that really is what wisdom is. Now, I'm going to begin to explain these different stages in the different adventures of life. Now, don't forget what I have said, what I'm talking about essentially will be for those who are reaching for the blessing of God, because there are different ways by which you can get results in life, and the life of Jesus is a very good example. When he came down to the earth, Satan met him one day and said that, bow to me and I will give you all these kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus, as we know, refused to bow. That is, one way he could have gotten the kingdoms of this earth was by bowing to Satan. And a lot of us have bowed to Satan in our lives today because we are reaching out for certain kingdoms. We are reaching out for certain blessings. But there's another way by which Jesus could get those blessings. That way was by obeying God the Father in everything that he was doing. That will be another method of getting the blessings. And that's one the Bible says produces enduring prosperity. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelations, it said that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. That is when Jesus got that kingdom from God. What happened was that what he got endured forever. When Satan came to him and said, use my method. Jesus said, no, anything that will not come as a result of the worship of God, I don't want. And I want us to bear this one in mind in our lives. In life, many things will be offered to you. But a lot of them will be offered to you on iniquitous parameters. What I mean is this. A young woman needs money. She wants to go to school. And he meets a big man who has a lot of money. And the man says, I will give you as much money as you want as long as you are my girlfriend. Now, what you are saying in effect is that if I give up my righteousness, if I give up my integrity, if I give up something that God said as you hold precious because of money for my education. What I have done is that I have gone by the way of Satan to get a kingdom. Are you getting my point? And that kingdom is my education. But God said, there is another way. You may have to suffer many things because in the case of Jesus Christ, he had to suffer on the cross. I hope you're getting my point. He had to suffer on the cross to be able to get the kingdom that God really wanted to give him. He was beaten. He suffered. He lived on this earth for a number of years. He experienced all the trials of men. But eventually, he got a kingdom that was going to last forever. Anything you compromise for with Satan to get, you will eventually lose. I hope you are getting my point. Because Satan cannot give you something that is enduring. And listen to me, the way you get a result is the way by which you will sustain it. If you get a result by worshipping Satan, which is what that young woman would have done if she had succumbed to the pressures of that rich man, then she will have to, for the rest of her life, walk in that manner to be able to get any result. And the Bible says that anyone that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. I hope you're getting what I say. Another example we see a lot around in our young men is that they are looking for the kingdom of wealth. And Satan comes and says, bow to me. What do I mean by bow to me? Become a 419 man. Begin to send mails all over the world, claiming you are something that you are not, so that the white man can give you money. He said, if you do that, what you have done is that you have bowed to me and you have worshipped me. And that way you will get a kingdom of wealth. But remember, he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The Bible says that the lust of the flesh is in the world. When a man begins to walk in the manner of the world like that, what he will eventually reap is corruption. He might get the kingdom for a while. He will get the money that Satan said he will get, but eventually he will be destroyed, and again, that without remedy. So I'll use this to explain the point that there are different methods by which you can get results on the earth. There is a method of God, and then there is a method of Satan. There are the principles of this world. Now, whichever one you decide to use is what will decide what you will eventually get out of it in this life. If you read from Psalm 118, you will see something that David said there. In verse 19, he said, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord." Now, it's now said in verse 20, he said, "This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it." What was he saying? That anything you want to enter in life, there are different gates you can go in through. He said, but there is a particular gate that is called the gate of God. That is the one that the righteous enter through. And don't ever forget this, that John said that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. He said, it is our faith. Don't ever forget that. So if the righteous man enters through the gate of God, what he will have gotten is that eternal redemption. What he will have gotten is eternal salvation. Because David said, "I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation." What God gives as a result of following his own order is salvation that lasts forever. What I'm saying in all of these things is that there are different methods by which you can enter into something. But there is a particular method which is called the method of God. And that one is founded upon faith, and it is founded upon prayer. And if somebody uses the methods of God, he will definitely get results. And what I'm going to be talking about are the steps for the man who is using the method of God. That is the one who wants to enter by the gates of righteousness. All right. Now, so those are the points. I said, if any man is going by this, he will discover that life is in phases. You cannot just rush from one point to the other. God ordained the phases of life. Now, there are different adventures in life. I want to quickly highlight that point. When I talk about adventures, I mean things like business. Somebody wants to do business. When I talk about adventures, I mean something like marriage. Somebody wants to go into marriage. Somebody wants to go into school. You want to go into a career. You want to go into anything in life. Those are the things I mean by the adventures of life. Now, if you want eternal success in them, you must learn the methods of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, if you are going by this method, you will find out that life actually is in phases. I'm going to divide it into five phases. And the five phases are like this. Number one, there's a phase of sitting down and counting. Then number two is a trial of your faith. Number three, there is a position of rest you will get to. Then number four, there is a season of fruitfulness. And then number five, there is the season of multiplication and dominion. Now, there's a point I want to emphasize before I begin to break this in down in details. I made it before. I want to just make it again. Now, you must know the phase you are in for you to be able to get the maximum utility of that phase. What I want to say is this. For every endeavor, once you have left one phase, you have left it. Do you understand my point? And it will hinder you from getting the best of the next season. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That it's like this. If it's a season for planting, and a farmer that has 5 hectares of land decides to plant only 1 hectare, thinking that, well, since my friend's daughter is getting married, we have to go to Lagos. And after that, one of my friends, his father died, we'll go down to Maiduguri to go and bury. And after that, we'll go down to where my friend is being given a chieftain's title, somewhere in Calabar. And then after that, we'll now come back and continue planting. The man has forgotten that planting season does end. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So he has planted 1 hectare. And then he goes around this jamboree from one wedding to one funeral to one chieftaincy title celebration. He finally comes back when planting season has ended. Then he will discover that in harvest season, he will have only 1 hectare to harvest. I hope you're getting the principle there. Now, but if he had understood that planting season will end, he will put off everything till he has finished planting. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you must recognize that in your life, everything is in seasons. If you misuse one season, it will cripple your ability to maximize the next season. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? So you must know which season you are in life. Now, there's another point I made last week before I left, which I want to just emphasize again, before I go on to breaking these things down. That I'm talking about recognizing the season. There's another reason why you must recognize the season. That's the point I actually want to make. And that's because the Bible says that if hope is delayed, the man's heart becomes faint. Again, if the farmer does not recognize that he's in his planting season, then he begins to get weary because he is looking for food and he doesn't have. Let me give that in practical terms. It's very common these days, you see a young man, maybe he's about 25, and his friends are, maybe he has a friend whose father is very wealthy, and his father bought a car for him, and they are in school together. And he has another friend whose father is also very wealthy. That one has a very big bike, and is showing up on campus. And he has another friend who is a crook, he does not know, and that guy has a lot of money from practicing his crookedness. And this young man desires good things. Shortly after that, he leaves school, and then he goes into the job market. And he sees people. His boss comes to work, and the boss comes in a brand new E320. Are you getting my point? And this young man still has to take a bus. Now, there's what the Bible calls the lust of the eyes. What begins to happen to this man is that he begins to desire these things. Now, let me tell you something about desire. There is nothing wrong with desire as long as you're not desiring somebody else's property. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the man is driving an E-Class. You too want your own E-Class. Mercedes-Benz didn't make only one. You could buy another one if you had the money. Are you getting my point? There's nothing wrong with that. If you decide that your house must be as big as that of Puff Daddy, who I heard that made a whole house his wardrobe, well, really, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I will not judge you for saying that you want a very big house. What is wrong is how you want to get it. Are you getting my point? If because your boss is driving an E-Class and you're working in a bank and you decide to steal the deposit that somebody came to lodge in, you will go to jail. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is the wrong way to try and get it. But God said, if you want it, just pray. You have not, he said, because you ask not. Now, what is happening right now is that that young man, the things that are happening might distract his attention. He might forget that these are phases in life. For example, his first friend was a very wealthy father. That one is living with his father in his father's harvest season. I hope you are getting my point. That is, there is a season that that boy's father is in, and that boy is just enjoying with his father. And that's the basic thing. Or his boss that drives such an expensive car, that boss has labored in previous times, and right now he is a big man, like we say, and he's buying that kind of car out of loose change, possibly. He is in a season where this young man is not. The mistake in life, why a lot of people go into iniquity, is because they want to live the life of one stage when it is not yet time. I don't know whether you're getting my point, but this is wisdom. For that young man to look and say, it's a matter of time, I will get there. Do you understand my point? That is basic wisdom. I remember those days when there was a day, maybe you're walking on the road. And now, this is what happened to me a lot those days. I want to travel, and you enter a bus. And the man says, hey, come down. You never pay for this, your bag. And I look at the man, this bag is small. Why do I have to pay for it? After they finish all the raking, I virtually get extorted of maybe about $100. All I used to tell myself that it's a matter of time. This will soon end. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I do not have a car. I need to travel. I just tell myself simply, this is a matter of time. It will soon come to an end. I remember something somebody testified to me long ago about Sunday Olise. That's the Nigerian footballer. Now, he said then, when he was a local footballer playing for, I think, Julius Berger or 3SC, I don't know where he was playing then. So a reporter asked him, say, how do you feel when you guys go for camping? The people like Keshi will come from abroad, they lodge them in 5-star hotels, and they put the rest of you in one hostel somewhere in a camp. He said that, Lisa said that he never felt bad. He recognized that it's a matter of season, that his own season will come. Are you getting my point? And indeed, his season came. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. A lot of people who are envious of other people don't recognize that life is in seasons. He said, he just looked at, look, Keshi and I are not mates. Keshi is senior to me in this business. This man has come from far, all right? He has paid his own dues locally, and now he's enjoying life internationally. That let me pay my own dues now, and then one day I will begin to enjoy life like he's enjoying. It's a matter of season. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? So when a young man understands that, he finds life easier. For me, then, it was very simple. But now, I've reached a point, if I get there and they say, this is supposed to be three people on a row, and they say it's five people in a row, and I still want to enter the public transport, I pay for the 5 seats and sit on the row alone. I can afford it. You get what I'm trying to say? It's no hassle. That is the way life is. It's a matter of seasons. You are getting the principle there. That's why a lot of people steal, because they don't understand that it is not yet the season. Are you getting my point? That is why what I'm teaching at this point is so important that we understand. Your life is in seasons. Now, let me begin to break down the seasons. Remember, I said there are 5 of them. And the first one I want to break down, which I will start with today, is that season which I have called the season of sit down and count. All right? Sit down and count. Now, this is a matter of foundation. You must lay a foundation for everything you want to do. And I'm going to start that simply by reading from Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Don't forget, we read from Psalm 118 that we are discussing the gate of God. If any man is entering by the gates of God, these are the things that he will discover in life. And don't ever forget this also. The gates through which you get a result, that is, the gate by which you enter the result, is what will determine what you will get from that result. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, because broad is the gate that leads to destruction. He said, narrow is the one that leads to life. Are you getting my point? He said, those that enter by the narrow gate, they find life. But those that enter by the broad gate, they find destruction. That's what he was saying. That is, what most people are doing in life is basically wrong. That's the meaning of broad gate. He said, many are them that find it. When you find everybody doing something, watch it very closely. That thing might be wrong. In fact, not might be. It's most likely wrong. Because narrow is the one that leads to life, and there are few people that find it. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Jesus said, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Now, I just want to bring out that verse to highlight my point. What Jesus was saying is that before I start any adventure in life, remember we gave different examples, whether it is business, or a career in civil service, or a career in the banking sector, or a career in sports, or it's marriage I want to go into, or into the ministry of the word of God, that is preaching, the preaching ministry, whatever it is I want to do in life, before I start, Jesus said the first stage must be that of sitting down and counting the cost. Now, this is what I want you to understand. This is what I want to apply it. Whatever you want to do in life, you must check exactly what it entails. Number one, you check how it is being done right now. You check how God said it should be done. That's so important. Because we're talking about the gates of God. You must first sit down and plan how you intend to do your own business. How you intend to work your own marriage. For example, we're going to announce at the end, I will be teaching a series on how God expects marriage to be. Because until you imbibe the correct thoughts, you don't get the right results. Listen to this. If you don't change your heart attitude to fit God's attitude, you can never get God's results. Do you understand my point? Let me explain something about business, and I'll explain something briefly about marriage. Now, for example, if you want to go into business, this is a godly attitude about business. You must check for what you are going to put out there, not what you are going to get. Let me go over that again. When you want to do anything, your primary focus must be on what exactly is it that I'm going to contribute in this thing I want to do. That's how you get God's ideas. When we're talking about sitting down and counting, we don't mean just feasibility studies, though that is very important. I've seen a lot of business people, they have no accounting method at all. The man buys in the morning, sells by evening, and eats the whole profit. He doesn't calculate salary for himself. He does not check his running costs. He just keeps eating. I don't know whether you get my point. At the end of the day, they'll not start telling you that it's my mother-in-law that's the problem. It's my wife's sister that's a witch. I heard the prophet came to our house and prayed. He said, the last person who slept on this bed, the person is a witch. And then you go and check. Now remember, it was your wife's sister that visited. He said, your wife's sister is a witch. Meanwhile, the so-called businessman has no basic accounting system. You want to do business, you have not settled down. How do I account for this? Yeah, you start employing people because you know them. Are you getting my point? Your brother comes and says, my friend needs a job, you employ him. Archbishop Benson, that also I used to say, never hire whosoever you cannot fire. One of the things, worst things you can do for yourself as a businessman is to fill your business with family members. That is a guaranteed failure already signed from the beginning. Are you getting my point? He said, it's because they will be lawyer. Forget it. Human beings, look, relationship does not guarantee loyalty. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The fact that it's a blood relation does not mean anything. You have to hire somebody you can fire if he misbehaves. If it's the one that they will call family meeting upon, because you fire the person, better don't hire the person at the beginning. And I'm bringing out a point here. You must put basic things in place before you start anything. Our good example from the scriptures, Daniel. Before Daniel stepped into Babylon, the first thing he did was to decide with his brothers, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we will not pollute ourselves before we go in here. There are people who want to enter political office. You must settle down, because right now Nigeria, corruption is a big problem. You must decide as a child of God, how am I going to tackle corruption? It is not when you're under pressure that you make decisions. Do you get the point I'm making here? It is not when you are under pressure that you make decisions. You make decisions when there's no pressure on you. Or maybe you want to, you are taking up a career in the university as a university teacher. And then, look, you've heard that there are lecturers who collect money from students. There are lecturers who demand to sleep with students before they pass them. Fine, so you're a Christian. You're not going to do any of such. Fine. But Satan, you know, Satan knows how to tempt you. He knows you're a very righteous man. He won't go and tempt you with women. He will tempt you with a young man who is about to fail and needs only one mark to pass, and the boy will offer you money and he will ensure you are broke that day. I don't know whether you're getting the point. That is the kind of thing that Satan will do. Do you understand my point? The Satan knows, look, he's not as foolish as some of us think. He knows the kind of temptation to use. So those are the kind of things from the beginning you make up your mind. Okay, what if this kind of situation occurs? What will I do? You see, there's no pressure on you then. You're not hungry. Your child is not sick and the doctor is on you to bring money to treat him. That is when to make those decisions. Let me explain something to you here. See, as in this our season of sitting down and counting, actually, what you are doing is that you are getting God's ideas for doing everything you are going to do. I said I was going to give another example with marriage. A lot of us practice marriage the way our fathers did, or the way our society is. They'll tell you that, you see, once you marry, the girl is not just your wife, is the wife of the whole family. It's a big lie. Are you getting my point? God never said it like that. Now, I know in your culture it is like that. Now, let me tell you something about worshiping other gods. Worshiping other gods does not mean I bow down before a graven image. It means I give the responsibility of God to somebody else. So I say, okay, how do you practice marriage? You have not studied the scriptures to check what he says. You are saying, my father said, and you ask, who's your father? He's the chief of our village. He's giving you the culture of your people. Listen to me, that is not a Christian marriage. That is why you will have problems. Let me tell you something about problems in life. Sometimes some people say that it's when I became a Christian that my problems began. That is the way it should be. Let me tell you the reason. Because the Bible says that if a strong man keeps his goods are what? They are safe. So as long as you are a servant to Satan, he won't disturb you. It is when a stronger than he comes that wants to plunder his good that problems begin. Are you getting my point? If you are getting married and you are happy with using the standards of your society, nobody will give you a headache. It is when you first rise up and say, no, I am a Christian, I want to do my things in the Christian fashion, that is when your problems will begin. That's why Jesus said in that Luke chapter 14, he said, except a man hates his father, mother, brother, sister, he cannot be my disciple. Therefore, he said, if you want to be my disciple, the first thing you must do is to sit down and count the cost. Listen, I have told you salvation is not free. Salvation always costs you something. Are you getting my point? It may cost you friendships. You become enemies to those that used to be their friends. Why? Because you choose to stand on the side of God. Let me just say something about this marriage thing. Because it's very common. A lot of women, they want to marry. This is common. For a year, they are dreaming of the wedding gown. Every magazine they pick, it's the wedding gown. You understand? You pick the magazine like this. You go to the bridal section. It's, this is the Armani's kind of shoulder. D&G kind of waist. And then the bottom, no. This is Versace. I like that. Every day you are sketching. The wedding is still 1 year away. I'm going from one place to another, checking price. And you and I know that cloth will fit on only one day. Even if it fits you 1 year later, you will not have to wear it 1 year later. It is one day. All right, fine, no problem. Oh, cake, every wedding you go, you are taking snapshots of the cake that they used. Because your cake must be better than those who came before you. And this is a Christian woman. Ask her simply, what does God say you do under this kind of situation if you arise in your home? She has no idea. If somebody said, look, pay 20,000 naira, I will give you a set of books that's guaranteed to teach you the fear of God in marriage. Ordinary book, it's not too expensive. Now, these are the materials that are going to create eternal happiness. You won't spend money on it. You know what has happened? Satan has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving that they will not see the glory of the gospel of Christ. Satan, he has fixed their eyes on the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Satan, he has fixed their eyes on the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But Jesus said, you want to get married? First thing you must do is to sit down and count. What exactly is going to be the pattern of operations in this marriage? If I might use myself as an example, at least 10 years before I got married, I was already thinking about God's order. When I met my wife, when I would share some things with her, I said, how come you think you are the only one that is right? I said, before I answer you, let me first tell you something. When they went to the promised land, there were 12 spies. Two said something and 10 said the other. Who was right? Two of them. So majority was wrong. Now in the whole of Israel, how many people believe the two spies, Joshua and Caleb? Virtually nobody. I think only Moses, all right, believed them. Now, of the millions of other people, listen to this. How many people were wrong? Everybody. That is, majority was absolutely wrong. So I told her, now, before I answer your question, I am not telling you what my father said. I am not telling you what my mother taught me. I am not telling you what I saw somebody else practice. I am telling you what I read in the Word of God, and this is the understanding I have come out of it. Yes, I think I'm the only one that's right. If you want to tell me I'm wrong, show me the scriptures that say I'm wrong. Before you do anything in life, it's called sitting down and counting. That is when you sink your roots downwards. The Bible said that the remnant of the house of Jacob shall first take roots downwards and then bear fruit upwards. A lot of us are running after the stem and the branches and the fruit without putting down any roots. Are you getting my point? Let's talk on physical things. Business. You don't have any accounting system and you have not settled down to learn accounting, that is simple bookkeeping, your business is doomed for failure from the beginning. The only way to succeed is if it first collapses, then you learn your lesson and you start again. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I mean, there are basic things that in anything you are doing in life. And let me just advise you here. If you want to do business that you have never done before, go and ask those who have done it before. Now, I'm not saying you must learn their ways, but at least know their problems. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Because a lot of people have faith that have not seen problems. Let me explain what I want to say. That is, it is easy to have faith when everything is calm. You have not seen the giants, so you'll be shouting, we will take the land, we will take the land. The first day you see the giants, you bolt in the other direction. Do you understand what I want to say? Ask questions. There's something, I at least God helped me to understand that. Sometimes people come to me with maybe proposals on something. Let's do this, let's do that. Like a friend came to me once, he said, come, let's buy a car. I said, well, he said Lexus. I said, what? He said, let's buy a Lexus for $300,000. I said, buy a whole Lexus for $300,000. He said, yes, the man desperately needs money. I called him. I said, what am I going to do with the Lexus? I said, I'm not planning to drive a Lexus. He said, we won't drive it. We just contribute money, buy it, and then we sell it. I said, all right, since it's a matter of buying and selling, I don't know how to buy and sell cars. I only know how to buy and drive cars. Are you getting my point? I said, so, let me show you that other guy. I pointed to somebody. I said, that guy knows how to buy and sell cars. Go and tell him. Why was I not interested? I said, any business I don't understand, I don't do. That is how you go out to you. You think it's quick profit. And let me tell you another thing. Anything that they promise you quick profit, be afraid. Because before you start into any business endeavor, you must sit down and check what exactly are people doing there. What are they supposed to be doing? What are they supposed to get? And what are they getting right now? Why are they not getting what they are supposed to get? Those are the things you do in the stage of sitting down. But most importantly, let me emphasize this, is getting God's ideas for that thing. Because our next stage is the stage of the trial of your faith. Because as a child of God, you will get results that will be above the one that normal people will get. In fact, that is what God ordained. That the power of grace working in your life should make you succeed above all else. Are you getting my point? But God is never in a hurry. And number two, you must use his methods if you want his results. So in the stage of sitting down, what do? We settle down and discover what God wants. And that stage is not done, just by wishing. It's done in prayer. Are you getting my point? You take time out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So what do we do in the first stage of sitting down? We are sitting down to get the ideas of God with prayer and meditation. God begins to tell you, everybody does like this, don't do like that. Everybody does like this, this is how I want you to do it. They said that when they are in the market, they are selling. I said the way to make money is to sell some inferior product. God said, you must never do it. He said, maybe you want to open a filling station, they will tell you the way to sell fast, instead of delivering 10 liters, deliver 9.5. God said, unjust scales are an abomination to me. If you do that, I will ruin your business. So they tell you, but you won't make money. So God said, I'm not sending you there to go and make money. I'm sending you to go and do legitimate business. I will give you money as a result of righteousness. I hope you can understand. Those are the things that a man settles down to learn in the stage of sitting down. God will now have given him his wisdom, called the wisdom for salvation.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life. By Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.